The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Let's take a closer look at that line here today. Philip says to Jesus, now here at the Last Supper, right, Holy Thursday night, "Show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus reprimands Philip because Philip was off on the object of his faith. "Have I been with you for so long a time and still you do not know me, Philip?" Philip was off on the object of his faith. But consider this today. Philip was really on to something else. Because Philip turned to Jesus and he says, "The Father is enough for me. That's all that I want." Question I ask you to pray about is, what is enough for you? What is all that you want? Once upon a time, I was maybe 13 or 14 years old. My mother asked me, "When you grow up, what do you want? What are you headed towards? What's your goal?" And I answered her, I said, "Yeah, I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't need very much. You know, just a little house in the country somewhere with my own private airstrip, that should be enough for me." And she reprimanded me for having worldly goals, because the most important question in your spiritual life is, what do you want? It's the most important question in your spiritual life. What do you want? Your desires will determine the course of your life. And ultimately, your desires will determine your eternal destiny. What you want, you will get. Want it? Want it long enough, and you'll get it. What we want to pray about is this. Unless it's God that you want, or things that lead to God, right? I want to ride to the church this morning. Why? Because that's where Mass is. Okay. If it's not God that you want, or things that lead to God, it will be dissatisfying. Because no matter what you have, it'll never be enough. Everybody knows about J.D. Rockefeller, right? The great robber baron of the 19th and early 20th centuries. They say he's one of the wealthiest men who ever lived, you know, measuring inflation-adjusted dollars against gross domestic product and all these things people do. One of the wealthiest men who's ever lived in all of history. They say that J.D. Rockefeller owned 81 manor homes around the world, 81 houses. Now, somebody supposedly went to J.D. Rockefeller, a reporter, and said, "You know, how much do you want? How much money is it going to take to make you happy?" To which he famously replied, "Just a little bit more than I have now." Why such excess? Because you're seeking after something that cannot satisfy. That's why. You have a God-sized hole in your heart. and to try to fill it with anything or anyone in this world simply doesn't work. Now, St. Augustine once said, Amor meus pondus meum, my love is my weight. In other words, whatever you love in life, you'll fall effortlessly toward it, just like gravity. So the number one work of the spiritual life is to change the desires of your heart. Now, the operative question is how? How do you change the desires of your heart? Well, occasionally God gives you a big grace. Occasionally there's a massive change like what happened to St. Paul or Francis of Assisi or St. Augustine. These happen, but they're rare. For most of us, there's two points we need to remember. Number one, the Gospels continually tell us about the importance of small things in our spiritual life. Small things like a mustard seed, small things like a pinch of yeast that makes the whole loaf rise. Do not neglect the power of small choices. A small renunciation here, a small prayer there, a small sacrifice here, a holding of your tongue there. Mustard seed, pinch of yeast, small things lead to big consequences. I think a lot of people already know that, though. Here's one that a lot of people don't already know, and it comes from our catechism. It says that if you want to change the direction of your spiritual life, you must approach God and the things you don't understand with filial adherence. Now, there's lots of things you don't understand in your spiritual life, right? Pretty much every single day for most of us is one mystery after another. Sometimes I think God looks at us the way a parent looks at a two-year-old or a three-year-old. You know, we keep saying, why? Tons of things we don't understand. The question is, how do you approach God and the things you don't understand? And this is the key phrase, a filial adherence to God. Adherence, but filial. Do you know what that means? That means that when you face mysteries, especially difficult mysteries in life, challenges, sufferings, things you don't understand, you need to choose to believe that God is the most loving of all fathers. And you're going to cling to him like that. Filial adherence. Now, the trouble is, most people don't cling to God with filial adherence. I think there's a lot of people out there, they remember that God is Father, but not a loving Father. Not a doting father, not the tenderest of all imaginable fathers. They think of God as maybe an absentee father, or a cold father, or a distant father who's away on a business trip. If they think of him as a father at all, you might think of him as a boss. One person once told me he sees God as the great taskmaster, always giving him new jobs to do, new tasks. Or they might even see God as an enemy, someone who's threatening what is good to them. If you forget to choose to adhere to God, and remember that word filial, you will languish because you're not clinging to the real God. You will end up relying on your own efforts, and no matter what you do, it'll never be enough. Show us the Father, Philip says, and that'll be enough for us. It was enough. It was true for Philip. It was true for all the saints. May it be true for you and for me as well. Amen.